Transparency, What's Your Story with Mr. John? This podcast takes you through the lives of people who have had transparent moments with life, love, and loss. More importantly, they found their triumph through their tribulations. I'm your host, Mr. John. I'm an entrepreneur, singer-songwriter, motivational speaker, but more importantly, I'm happy that you decided to stop by and listen to this episode. Hey, my transparent people, so happy to have you guys back for this episode. This week, we'll be discussing the legendary Bernie Mac and the lesson that he gave me on self-confidence. We also have Morris Kelly, a.k.a. Mo Kelly, from The Mo Kelly Show on KFI. He stops by to talk about his journey in transparency. Thank you all for stopping by. So greatly appreciated. I'm happy you guys are enjoying the podcast. It is my pleasure and privilege to be able to bring you some stories that have been on my heart for a while. More importantly, to inspire, and more importantly, push you to your next level. If you've not picked up my book, Transparency, 12 Weeks to the New You, it is on Amazon. As well as, if you like interesting stories and articles about health, mental health, physical health, personal training, needing some extra oomph to get you through the day, stop by the AliveExperienceOnline.com. It is a link in my bio. I have over 500 articles about health and fitness, about what you can do. More importantly, if you've not seen the podcast, make your way over there and check out Transparency, What's Your Story. Also, I know some of you all know we do have a telephone number. That's right. If you want to call in and tell me your story, I would really love to hear it. That number is 818-660-5374. Again, 818-660-5374. Thank you guys for your time, and as always, be well. Hey, before I get into what we are going to discuss this week, I want to let you guys know a couple of things. One, we actually have a Facebook family that we are building here at Transparency. It's a private page, but I'm offering it to you. So the first 100 people that sign up will be able to actually speak to me. Some people don't like the telephone number. This way, you can just send in your question to me, and I'll be able to respond directly to you through this podcast. It is on Facebook. It's Transparency, What's Your Story with Mr. John. Sign up today. I want to be able to speak to transparent people, answer questions, and have the dialogue that we all need to have in this journey of what we call life. So sign on up today. Be part of the tribe. Be part of the family on Facebook at Transparency, What's Your Story with Mr. John.
Bernie, man, was one of the coolest dudes you could ever meet. I mean, Bernie used to, man, you know, he tell you to come up to, like, during lunch, man. He had the buffet in his room. He like, yo, man, I ain't got to worry about it. Come up to the room, man. They got a whole lot of food. I mean, that's how he was, you know. He was a cool cat, man.
I remember growing up, and there was a comedian that went by the name of Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac was a comedian that stood out all on his own. Maybe if you remember him, he had a show called The Bernie Mac Show. You may remember him from being one of the kings of comedy. But when he first started out, he would come out and say, I ain't scared of you. MFs. I'll leave it like that. And he would do his bit and people would laugh and he would tell a joke. And he would constantly say, I ain't scared of you. And many interviews that followed, he explained that was his way of breaking the ice. That was him being able to regulate or find out the temperature of the room. How his jokes are going to go that night. And I started to think it's a very, very wise way of testing our self-confidence when we walk into a room. Because yes, we're all nervous. I get extremely nervous, surprisingly. Some people would not believe it. But yes, I do get nervous when I have to speak in front of people. When I have to motivate sometimes in front of people. And I've even heard through some artists, they'd rather stand in front of 5,000 people performing instead of singing to one person because they get nervous. They feel it's being more self-critical, but I digress. But the next time that you go into a room, why don't you say, I ain't scared of you, ma. I ain't scared of you. Because fear is false evidence appearing real. I'm going to say it again. False evidence appearing real. So if you face that fear by telling, I ain't scared of you, man, you can break that chain in your cycle. Remember Les Brown, he said it best. He says, sometimes we are the best people of talking ourselves out of something. And we do. You see something hard. Oh, I'm going to get to it later. Or I can't do this. Oh, maybe it's not my time. Do you know the more that you work toward that goal, that time and time and time gets a little bit shorter, a little bit less? Because everybody has a moment for greatness. When we pass our fear, when we face our fears, is when we have that moment of glory. We're able to walk up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing? I'm new here. You'd be surprised, a lot of people are also there for the first time, but they're very open to introducing themselves. But when you walk into that room and say, I ain't scared of you, it breaks also that cycle, your mental cycle, your mental psyche. It allows you to see the best that you have to be. You can walk in with the self-confidence that you need because you've already said, I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to come in and be as genuine, as transparent to these people that I want to do business. I want to learn from them. I want to have a good time. And hey, I'm not that scary. I'm not just the new kid on the block coming into a new school or the new fish stepping into a new stream. This is your opportunity for you to shine, and you got to get out your head. And if it's saying, I ain't scared of you, then take the phrase and may it work. Thank you, Bernie Mac. We do miss you, but your words do live on. That's my transparent moment. Ladies and gentlemen, today I have a guest who is also a host who is helping change the way we view things in America, not just as a community, but as the overall political platform. He's always going to challenge you to change your thoughts. I've got the infamous Morris Kelly, a.k.a. Mo Kelly from The Mo Kelly Show on Transparency today. Brother, how are you?
I'm doing well, and thank you very much for introducing me. I strive to be infamous. I don't care about being famous. I just want people to talk about me.
Oh, they definitely talking about you. They are so talking about you. Now, look, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not seen or heard this man's show, you have to go and tune into The Mo Kelly Show, because there are things that happen on your show. I have to truly admit, I only wish I could have the evidence of how infamous you are with some of your viewers, because either people love you or they hate the fact that you are calling out the truth. It is just mind-blowing to me.
I try to remind people that I am not a partisan. In other words, I'm not for your political candidate. I'm not for your political party. So with that in mind, I'm just going to talk about things that are either right or wrong, not right or left. And it frees me to call things as they are, not what I would want them to be. And if someone is in trouble for some sort of sexual activity, or someone's in trouble for stealing something, then I can just call it as it is, as opposed to worrying about relationships or feeling as if I'm doing a party or a candidate a particular disservice. So that's why I try to do everything surrounded around just being right or wrong, not right and left.
I completely understand. Now, Mo Kelly, for those that don't know, tell them about your show, the times, because I really want them to be able to, if they've not listened, they're in for a treat. So just let them know.
Very simply, you can always find me on KFI AM 640, which is based in Los Angeles, but is one of the signature stations of iHeartRadio, Saturdays and Sundays from 8 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific. And during the week, you may see on TV, be it CNN or maybe locally in California from SoCal, but you can always find me on The Mo Kelly Show. And The Mo Kelly Show is a little bit of everything. It's about life, but we view it through the lens of politics, entertainment, and sports. And oftentimes, all of those subjects will cross over in many ways. So if you tune in to me and you're going to hear something about Colin Kaepernick, we'll address it from the sports side. We'll address it from the business side. We'll address it from the entertainment side and, of course, from the politics side. Because many times, all of these subjects don't stay in their original form. Colin Kaepernick, for example, started out as a sports story, but then it turned into a national political story thanks to the antics of our president. So the Mo Kelly Show is a space where you can have honest reflection, real analysis. It's going to be uncomfortable at times because I'm going to challenge you and prod you, and I'm not just going to pat you on the back. And yes, I'm an African-American man, but it doesn't mean that I'm just going to agree with African-American folks and just ride for them. Bill Cosby was guilty. I believe that Colin Kaepernick was right in what he wanted to do, but wrong in his methodology. And there are all sorts of things in between. Life is not black or white, no pun intended, but it's a lot of gray. And so we try to find the gray, and also we try to find the funny. There's a lot of humor in what we do. There's enough serious news out there where there's time, room, and space for a little bit of levity.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You've always, as you said, you're not left or right. You are right or wrong. Now, I know this for a fact, but I know that you have a beginning. So first and foremost, where are you originally from?
Born and raised in Los Angeles. Went to school on the East Coast, Georgetown University. But outside of that, I've always lived in the Los Angeles area proper.
You've never wanted to move anywhere else? Just L.A. to the day you die?
I did when I was younger. I'm 49 right now. And when I was in my 20s, there were certain opportunities I could have taken around the country. But for me, there's no place like Los Angeles. And in the business in which I work, it only makes sense to remain in either Los Angeles or New York. But as I get older, I really have no tolerance for extremes in weather. I have no desire for humidity. I have no desire for extreme cold. I have no desire to live in an overpriced city like New York. So if I can have the best of both worlds, yes, it's expensive in Los Angeles, but I already have a home base and I've been here for my whole life. That's a little bit more easy to manage than as opposed to moving around the country. And most people working in radio or as I was in music, you work your career so you can get back to L.A. or get to L.A. as the number two media market in the country. So if I have my druthers, I'm going to stay right here.
I got you. I got you. Now, since I know, as you said, radio has been your thing, what influenced you to go into radio?
It's funny that you should ask that because it's not a direct route. When I was growing up, I was listening to the station called KABC 790 here in Los Angeles, and my household listened to talk radio every single morning. It was like the morning newspaper. And when you're exposed to it, you become very familiar with it. And there was this one broadcaster, and if you're really a student of talk radio, you know who this one person is. But if you're not, look up the name Paul Harvey. And he was a master of giving these maybe 1 or 2 minute editorials talking about the news of the day. And he had this vignette called The Rest of the Story, and he was a masterful storyteller, but he was very convincing in the way that he could tell you something about a subject that you think you did not care about, but also gave you the reasons why. To make a long story short, I've always had a love affair with talk radio, the medium which is so intimate in nature. You don't allow just anyone into your car. You don't allow just anyone on your smartphone as you're working out in the gym. And there are a few places in media where you can actually directly interact with that entertainment personality. You've always been able to do it in radio. This can't really do it with someone on TV, but you can do it on radio. You can call in, you can email, and there's a good chance you're going to get a response. You can hit them on Twitter and so forth. You can do that to a certain degree with TV and social media, but it's not as intimate with radio.
Gotcha.
Now, when I started off in media, I started off as a columnist. So I started writing and expressing myself in that way and working in the music industry, but I've always wanted to have a space in which I could use my voice to tell specifically how I felt in a quicker fashion than writing, because writing is a laborious process, and people don't want to read 2 and 3 pages anymore. They just want a headline, a tweet, a witty remark, and leave it at that. So moving into radio has always been an indirect dream, and I took a circuitous route, and I'm a firm believer. You have to learn your craft. You have to be a student of your craft. And I spent a lot of years as a producer, producing for the likes of Jim Rome, sports radio, Ryan Seacrest, entertainment radio, Tavis Smiley, political and cultural affairs and current events radio. So I had a well-defined baseline of information which traversed a lot of subjects and topics before I even ever open up the mic, as they say, for myself. A lot of people like to talk. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about a lot of things, but there is a craft to this. There is a knowledge base that you have to have. There is a school, if you will, that you have to learn and matriculate and graduate from so that you can be the best professional that you can be. And after you do all that, then possibly, maybe, hopefully, you can be a radio host.
That's a whole lot. You've just probably answered like 5 questions I was going to ask you down the line. But that's okay. But I want to get back to something you said, because I too am from Los Angeles, California. I grew up with Pat Harvey. In your travels, did you ever have a chance to talk to Mr. Pat Harvey?
I mean, Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey,
excuse me.
Pat Harvey is a television anchor. Paul Harvey, I never got to meet, but Paul Harvey was part of what they call the Ken and Bob Company, Ken Minyard, Bob Arthur, 790 KBC. The closest I ever got to meeting Paul Harvey was I got to chance, actually it was less than a year ago, to exchange Facebook messages with Ken Minyard, who was the lead host on KBC 790 Morning Show in the middle to late 1970s. And I had the opportunity to just thank him for his unintentional influence on me and helping shape my love for talk radio, which was very different back then. Now it's much more opinionated. Now it's much more caustic. It's much more toxic in many ways, more meaty. But Ken Minyard specifically, along with Bob Arthur and Paul Harvey, shaped what I was going to be by showing me what a true radio professional and a consummate professional would do, knowing how to take the serious subjects and inject some humor every now and then, how to make it relatable to someone listening. You can get your news anywhere, especially today. You can get it on TV, you can get it on radio, you can get it on an app, you can get it from your friends and social media. But the real question is, what's in it for that person? In other words, if you're going to tune into me, okay, I'm going to give you the story, but what is it that I'm going to give you which is going to make it relatable or digestible or usable by the person listening? If we're going to talk about Donald Trump, we're going to talk about the presidential race, I need to talk about it in a way where this – well, the person listening is going to care, and it's always what's in it for them. And that's what I learned from Ken Minyard, Bob Arthur, and, of course, Paul Harvey, always keeping the listener in mind. It's not just what I think and what I feel I need to say, but why is it relevant to the person listening? And as long as I keep that in mind, I think I can do what I do and do it well.
No, you do it well, brother. You do it well, hands down. Hands down is the reason why people tune into you. Your ratings are highly up. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not checked out the show, you really need to check out the show. Something you had just recently said, I was not aware of, that you worked with Jim Rohn and that you were one of his producers. I imagine along the way, he must have dropped a couple of golden nuggets in your life that has helped you now. I'm just curious, give me like one of those if you can, and unless you got 10 of them, go for it.
That's a great question. I've never been asked that. Jim, he was the first person I worked with in radio, worked for. I started off writing for his website and then started producing. And I asked him, how do you go about talking to nobody? Meaning you're sitting in a box, most likely by yourself, but you have thousands of people listening. And he said, I'm not talking to 1,000 people. I'm talking to one. And if you think about talking just to one person, you increase that level of intimacy with the listener, where the person listening in the car or on their smartphone, they think as if you're just talking to him or her. And the trick that he used was that he would look directly at his producer in the studio. And there are other people that I've worked with who would have an actual physical picture of someone. And so they would enter into a conversation with that single person. You're not talking to all of Los Angeles. And if you're syndicated, you're not really talking to all of America. You're talking to that one person. And that one person is going to feel so very special because it feels as if you have bridged the gap and you have a very personal relationship with that person. And all the time, people come up to me and recite back to me things I've said. Oh, I remember when you talked about when you got kicked out of Disneyland. I can so relate. I remember just what that's like, because I got kicked out of it. Becomes very personal for them, and that's how you develop a listener base.
Gotcha. Well, I love the golden nugget. I truly love the golden nugget. Now, within your journey, and I know this journey is far from over because there are many chapters and books that we could probably write about your life right now. What moment did you know in your heart that you got this?
I don't know if it was one moment. Because you are this business, and especially as an African American man, everything is a perpetual audition. And although you may receive one accolade or reach some level, there's always someone else that you have to prove something to. I can say that I knew that I got this very early on because when no one else believes in you, you have to believe in yourself. You have to be your biggest cheerleader. That is something else that I learned from Jim Rohn. And I'm glad you said that because that relates back to another early story where he told me where he had just gotten syndicated. And I asked him, I said, did you always know that you would be successful? He said, yes. The biggest part and the hardest part was trying to make sure everyone else could see the same vision that I saw. So even though I'm my biggest fan, biggest cheerleader, and I think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, all of that, it's still a perpetual fight to demonstrate to everyone else what I see. And I had my boss ask me one day, said, Mo, what is it you want to be? I said, right now I want to be the king of Los Angeles. And she looked at me like I was kidding. I said, no, I'm being serious. How I believe myself and where I want to go with all this. And before I can convince anyone else, I have to be sure, clear, and decisive as far as who I am and what I want to be. Because there will be people who will pull at you saying, you need to be this for the black community. You need to be this, or in a political sense. You need to take this side of this issue, or you need to make sure that people know who you vote for. No, the only thing I need to do is make sure and never lose sight of that along the way. So there was not one specific moment, but there's a perpetual audition process along the way. And I'll tell you this, the first mock show that I sent out to every radio syndicate and radio personality and person that I could, the mock of the Mo Kelly Show is not unlike what you hear on the air right now. But I went through a hell of a lot of no's and non-responses before I got to a yes, but it didn't change or shake my faith in me. So to answer your question, I knew I got it before I even started, because that's how I have to approach it.
Got it. I got it. For all y'all who are not aware, Mo Kelly got an award last year, and I want to say it correctly. So the award was for what division again? Best new. I want to say it right. So I want you to say
best,
it right.
Okay, it was Best News or Hard News Feature Radio for the National Arts and Entertainment Journalism Awards for 2018.
Now, I'm just curious, just blow my mind for a second. How many other folks were in the line, as you said, as you've been continually auditioning, how many other people were in the nomination for that award?
Well, it's taken from the different journalism clubs around the country and press clubs, and there's a nominating process under local clubs, and then it goes to the national competition. I can't necessarily quantify, but I know that there are thousands of entries.
Right.
Specifically.
Yeah. So out of those 1,000 entries, you came home to take that lovely honor, which you so rightfully deserve. But as you said, you saw it before you even got there. You saw this years ago. So to have that moment, brother, I know you were like, I got this. This is my moment. Just for that moment. But now, if Mo Kelly was looking in the mirror, which I don't know if you have a mirror in your office, but looking at yourself today from where you were, what transparent moment would you be able to say to yourself?
I would say, in regard to the award at least, and I hope I'm answering this correctly.
Yes.
The award is nice. It's a nice reminder. It's a nice reflection of dedication to my craft. But it's an acknowledgement of something I've done in the past. I'm always looking ahead, because there will be other obstacles that I have to overcome. And I don't ever want to think that an award is more important than what I'm about to do. Because I think from where I'm sitting, there's so much more I could do with more radio real estate or more opportunity. Because I'm the guy who wanted to be king of Los Angeles and everything. So there's more work to do. And I know that may sound arrogant to certain people, but I was taught by a lot of people in this business early on, you have to set your goals at the very top. Now, they're incremental steps along the way, but you must be clear on where you're going to always make sure you're on that path, as opposed to just drifting and, you know, meandering throughout your career. So the award is nice, and it's nice validation in the moment, but it's for something I did more than a year ago at this point. So I'm always looking forward to the next thing. But there's stages.
Right.
And this actually goes back to your previous question when you said, when did I know that I got it? I think I have a better answer for you now.
Okay.
And I was auditioning for a contest on ESPN. And there was this contest where you go down to this car lot, and they had a host who was broadcasting live for ESPN 710 AM here in Los Angeles. But they were having a contest where if you wanted to be on the radio, you come down and you would do, during their commercial breaks, you record like a 2-minute sample of doing your best stuff. And then they would vote on it, and then they would let the person come in and be on the radio for a day. I didn't win. But the host who was on the air at that time, and I remember I did a piece on LeBron James, Mark Willard, after I got done, he looked over his shoulder and said, wow, that could be on the radio today. That little bit of affirmation reminded me, I'm not where I need to be, but I'm moving in the right direction. And it was unsolicited, and it's better than money because it gives you something that just makes you work a little harder, keep on striving. And even though I didn't win the contest, as far as I was concerned, I won the contest because I got some sort of reminder that I was doing the right thing and I was in the game. I was close. I was almost there.
I got
you. And that's worth more than anything in the world.
Yes, yes. I look, anytime you're able to get that unsolicited praise where you're just like, whoa, wait a second. I didn't ask you for that. And that's when you're moving in the right direction. So now, moving in the right direction, where does Mo Kelly then see him? What's on the next agenda? What's next?
I guess a bigger platform is always cool in the sense that I'm on the weekends now, so and I've done weekday shows. I was on in San Francisco Monday through Friday, and there was a time I was on in L.A. Monday through Friday. But KFI is still the number one news talk station in America.
Right.
So there are more people listening to KFI on the weekends than there are most stations during the week. So to give some context and perspective. The next thing for me, and honestly, I'm a person of faith. I'm going to be where the Lord wants me to be for that time being, and I'll be patient and wait on the Lord. And when the time is right, I will say, here am I, send me, and he'll direct me and order my steps and not to proselytize. I try to keep him in everything I do. Before I do any show, regardless of the content, if I do any speaking engagements, I always say, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer, because I want to always remain focused and remember from whence I came. The way I prepared for my first show is the way I prepare for my second show and third show. I always do my show as if it's my last one and my first one. And that keeps a continuity and consistency in everything I do. So what's next? I don't know. All I can do is be a good steward of the 2 hours that I have Saturday and Sunday night. Just do the best that I can with what I have right where I am. And I would much rather do a real tight 2-hour show two nights a week as opposed to a whack show or a loose show, weak show, inconsistent show, non-entertaining show 5 days a week. And so when the next step comes along, it will come along. But when it comes along, I will be ready because I prepared for it.
Exactly. Exactly. Look, for those that are not aware, he does this 2-hour show on the weekends, but he is on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've not been paying attention to the news, iHeartRadio is still a radio station, and they've got goals, and you have to make numbers. And if you've been paying any attention to the news, it's been fluctuating back and forth, and many radio people have been disappearing due to automation. But right now, I'm able to say, this man right here, he's on the radio. He is doing his thing. He is staying current. He is staying present. And he is being transparent every step of the way as he is moving forward in this business that we call radio. I want to backtrack real quick. You have a knack of pushing buttons. And if you've not been to the website, Mo Kelly, sometimes he posts. As I've taken the phrase, I can't make this up. And with your hashtag, I can't make this up, he has posted, ladies and gentlemen, of what stuff people have tried to say about him, have tried to say about the show, have tried to tear him down. And instead of getting angry about it, he posts it in a way that makes everybody laugh because the headline is usually, I can't make this up. So can you just give me a moment recently that what somebody may have sent you or said where you go, I can't make this up?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. But many times I can tell you why I do it.
Okay.
Many times people walk through life with this false impression of what reality is. People will say, for example, that we live in a post-racial America because we elected Barack Obama twice. And I try to explain to them that's not the experience of the average, everyday African-American person, especially man in this country. And so many times I'll post a lot of the hate mail that I get, which is not about my content, which is not attacking the quality of my radio show. It usually is attacking me as an individual who happens to be black, and it's centered around that. That I didn't earn it, that I'm not good enough, or I should be on a black station, everything. And it highlights, which some people may not agree with or believe is still a part of our fabric, of our discussion, as far as how black people may be perceived in this country. Because, and I always say, I can show you better than I can tell you. Like, I could just tell you that, but many times if I just show it to you, then a light bulb goes on for people. And I'm not trying to shove it down people's throat, but I'm trying to elucidate and highlight how certain people's experience in this country are different from others. If we talk about Jussie Smollett, for example, a lot of people just want to talk about, I can't believe that he allegedly faked this hate crime and he falsified a police report. And he should pay $130,000. And I'm not against any of that. But you can't only talk about Jussie Smollett and disregard that it's happening in a city in which black people are being gunned down, unarmed, or you have the same police department who's complaining about Jussie Smollett, who's fabricating and falsifying police reports and destroying video evidence in relation to Laquan McDonald. All of these things are relevant, and we can't be selective in our principles. And so many times I use the news as a way to highlight the fallacy in our logic, in our reasoning, in our tribalism, to hopefully bring about greater understanding. And when I say I can't make this up, the things that people are so confident of, in which they believe, not based in any type of fact, not based in any type of history, not based in any portion of the Constitution, yet they will post with great conviction, oftentimes highlights how ignorant as a country we are.
Exactly. I love it. I love how eloquently how you have said that. I remember last year you had posted one where a gentleman had attacked you, and you posted it up, and he was, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to use the hashtag, I can't make this up, that he posted everything against you as being a black man, and you need to go back to Africa. But yet, he also posted in the corner his actual name. And ladies and gentlemen, because all followers, you know, if we support. If they're fans, you know, they are ride or dies. And you have tons of fans that are ride or dies. They went to the point of that they found the man's work address. They found his photo. They posted on the internet to the point that, I want to say this correctly, the guy sent you an email back trying to apologize by saying he had a drunk moment. Am I saying this
yes.
right? Yes.
Yes, you are saying it exactly right. Not apologizing for what he said. He actually said, he actually asked for me to give him a break because he had a drunk moment. He did not apologize for the content or the N-words in his emails, plural.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was. Yes.
I was the bad guy for not giving him a break.
Yeah,
I can't make this up.
No, I can't make this up. It was, ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens. I mean, I have to admit, you know, doing this type of podcast, I have to admit, I've started actually getting, you know, at times negative more comments, but nothing really direct to me. Like, you know, people ask me, you know, what makes you an expert on people being transparent? What makes you expert being a life coach? What, you know, how come you're always so positive? How come you always have a positive message? And I have to just tell people, I don't have to work at it because I live it. There's a big difference. I'm not constantly having Amen. To think of it as like, this is hard work. No, I can, as you say, there's, it's not just left or right. It's right or wrong. But guiding at times people's transparent paths, because what I may tell them may be different from what I may want, but it's the, you know, it's their truth of which they have to live. And more recently, I just got this comment where somebody said to me, you know what? I don't like you. And my response back just says, well, that's okay. Everybody doesn't have good taste. And I just left it at that. And I got more yeah. people responding back, like saying, hey, that's, you don't have to like me, you know, but, you know, just don't disrespect me. So I, that moment of that gentleman, acting a fool, as I like to say, was just like classic, like welcome to Hollywood, welcome to being entertainment. And I think we can both agree on this one, especially if you're not ready to be talked about, then you're not ready to be a part of this business. So this is where we are. This is truly where we are. Before I get ready to let you go, though, because I know you say you got all the time in the world, but I like to play a game of rapid fire. I'm going to ask you five quick questions, whatever pops off the top of your head. You can just tell me and we'll go from there. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Here we go. Favorite ice cream?
Cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream. Your favorite takeout Chinese restaurant?
What's the one with the Kung Pao chicken? I can't remember the name of it.
Not Panda Express.
Shoot. Panda Express. Thank you.
Okay. Panda Express. Okay. Favorite car that you would love to drive?
Would love to drive. Oh, it would have to be a Porsche 911.
Porsche 911. I thought you owned a Porsche 911. Nope. Don't tell me.
I had a. Okay.
No, don't tell me, because first of all, your significant other would not allow you to have that Porsche 911 until all the finances were together. That's just how the hell they are, because mine's the same way.
That's the way it works.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Last question. Here we go. If you were to finish up this podcast, walk outside, and by chance you found that lottery ticket from last night, and it was the winning numbers of $750 million. What would have been the first? What would you have done?
The first purchase?
What would be the first thing you would have done? It could be purchase. It could be you would have quit your job. What steps do you think you would have done?
Oh, I would have been thinking business. I would have created a corporation to put the money into, so I couldn't get sued.
Okay. Now, Cormel Corporation, would you still have gone on TV? And you know, would they have to? You have to stand and quote unquote with the check? Because I don't know if you saw recently, there was a gentleman in, I want to say, New York, or mm-hmm. New York, Jamaican, who had he put on the scream.
Mm-hmm.
He had the scream mask because he wanted to hide his identity. And I was like, I was like, that's smart, because everybody to me that has come out more recently with winning the lottery, either you have to go into hiding, you have to disappear. So, you know, besides changing your telephone number, because those that are coming out, but it's like you really almost have to be anonymous.
There is no upside to being publicly known as being 750 million. No upside.
Yeah. I mean, unless you were able to give, unless you just gave it, you know, 75% of it away to organizations that actually did something with it, that, you know, you were able to really kind of.
But the difference is, if I may, the folks who can, they already have that infrastructure in place and that border around them where you can't get to Bill Gates. You can't get to a lot of these billionaires. So, we know that they have that money, but you can't get to them and negatively impact their lives personally. If my life turned around tomorrow where I have close to $1 billion, my life is going to change in all sorts of ways that I can't control.
Quite true. Just give me $4 million. That's all I need. $4 million. I'll disappear for a while, but I'll take $4 million and I'll make it to $100 million with a building in your name. I'll agree with that. So, you know, in the meantime, before I get ready to let you go, is there anything I left out that you would like to let my audience know?
Yeah, and this is something that I would just tell anyone whenever I do any public speaking, and it's not because I think I know more. I'm just saying this has helped me in my life, and I think if I should go on the radio or go somewhere and not impart this, I think I'm not doing my job, small J. I would encourage anyone, if you want to get in this business, be humble, number one. Number two, be hungry. There are 1,000 people who I believe who are more naturally talented in this business in doing what I do. But I don't believe that there's anyone who's willing to outwork me or who can outwork me. And that, I believe, is the great equalizer. So be humble, be hungry, and lastly, be a student of your craft. There's not necessarily a formal school for what I do, but there are certain things that you can learn to be a better broadcaster. And if you do those three things, you will probably be in good stead in anything that you do, be it entertainment or life-related.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. He has told you, he's giving me the golden nuggets. He has most importantly spent his time with me. Mr. Mo Kelly, thank you for being on Transparency. I could not have made this episode any better because you truly have been, as I say, the cat's meow over everybody as so far. You have truly met the mark of being transparent. So, brother, thank you.
Mr. John, my brother, my friend, I appreciate you. I love you. And let's not let it be so long before we talk again.
I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. Every week I'm actually trying to get better, to present you guys something that is from the heart, more importantly, that you can relate to. Now, Gary Vee says it best, so I'm going to quote him. Sharing these thoughts is like oxygen to me. So if they resonate with you, if you feel that this can benefit somebody, subscribe, share, more importantly, like all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, thelivexperienceonline.com. And I look forward to speaking and sharing with you guys real soon. Be well.